morning, everybody. Glad to have you all here today. You know, last week I gave a little bit of an introduction of this series that we're going to be starting. And the purpose of this series is to strengthen each one of us in our inner core. You know, we see a lot of things going on around us in our world. And so we're coming in here to be built up, okay, built up. On our insides, you know, we need an anchor. When you're going, we were singing about a storm a while ago. When we're going through storms, y'all go through storms once in a while, right? When you go through a storm, we need an anchor. We need an anchor, and that's what we're going to be talking about over these next several weeks. You know, I mentioned that, you know, God leads me, you know, on what to preach from the pulpit. You know, just with things in life. And so recently, you know, my husband and I had gone to Massachusetts. So he said Massachusetts. He wanted to go there because he likes history, you know. And he wanted to go back to the place where the Revolutionary War started, in Lexington and in Concord. So those are the places that we went to in our recent vacation, our recent time away. That's the place where our country's independence, the fight for our independence, started. That's the very independence that we're going to be celebrating in just a few days, July 4th. We're going to be celebrating our country's independence, independence from the British. So, you know, that's where the Revolutionary War started. It started in Lexington and Concord. So there's going to be a little bit of history here in the message today, okay? And so we're going to get started. Kathy, could you bring up the first slide? Okay. That's the date, April 19th, 1775. That's the date when our revolution started, actually. That's when, you remember in your history classes, you remember the name Paul Revere? Yeah. Paul Revere, when he went out charging and on his horse saying, "The British are coming. The British are coming." Remember that? That was Paul Revere. This is the date. And so he went through the land declaring that the British were coming, and those farmers dropped everything and they took up their guns. You know, they took up their guns. They had weapons. The tradesmen, the churchgoers, they picked up their guns to protect themselves. Those farmers, they were willing to risk their life for something they believed in. They believed that we should be free. We should be free to govern ourselves as a nation. We should be free from the British. And so, at that time, the British had heard that they had arms stored there in Concord. And that's what they were going for. They wanted to go and get them and confiscate them. They didn't want the colonists to have arms. And so that's very likely where our Second Amendment came out of. You know, the amendment that says that we have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed upon. So that, I believe, is most likely where that Second Amendment originated. If we lose our right to keep and bear arms, if we have our guns taken away from us, then we will be led by whoever has guns. That's why that amendment was added to the Bill of Rights. So keeping and bearing arms is our constitutional right. The colonists found out that freedom isn't free. It comes at a very high cost. You know, that we're going to be celebrating the 4th of July. We're going to be celebrating our freedom in just a few days. But that freedom came at a super high cost. There were good men that lost their life so we could be here and have our life and live freely. You know, very similarly to how, you know, God sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. That was the most high cost. He sent his son, his only begotten son, to pay for our spiritual freedom. That came at a very high cost, that we could be free from sin, hell, death, the grave, that we could inherit eternal life, Our very salvation came at a very high cost. But Jesus, too, was willing. He was willing to give up his life for us, for freedom. It's our job, it's our responsibility as Christians to enforce the freedom that Jesus bought and paid for. As a nation, it's our responsibility to enforce the freedom that those farmers and tradesmen and churchgoers, what they gave up their life so that we could be free. It's a responsibility. those men in Massachusetts were willing to stand up and pay the ultimate price for freedom. In each of those areas that we saw in Massachusetts, I'm going to take you there. We're going to Massachusetts, okay, guys? We're going to Massachusetts today. We saw some monument markers that listed the names of the fallen, those who fell there in those areas. Kathy, could you bring up the next slide? Okay, here, this is a monument in Lexington that Gary's taking a photo of. And Kathy, could you bring up our next slide? That's the blow up of that monument. Here it has the names of the men who died. They're listed as martyrs. If you can, I guess you maybe might not be able to read it. They were listed as martyrs, dying for what they believed in. These are some of the names that are listed there. Okay, Robert, Jonas, which is the Greek form of Jonah, Samuel, Jonathan, Isaac, Caleb, John, Asael. The inscription, I'll read some of it. It says that these men, they fell on this field, the first victims to the sword of British tyranny and oppression, on the morning of the ever memorable 19th of April, 1775, the die was cast. The blood of these martyrs in the cause of God and their country. It says that they were defending their rights. They nobly dared to be free. The contest was long, bloody, and affecting. Righteous heaven approved the solemn appeal. Victory crowned their arms, and the peace, liberty, and independence of the United States of America was their glorious reward. That's that inscription of that monument that Gary was taking a photo of. Did you hear that? This was the cause of God. This was for the cause of God and their country. Massachusetts had some Christian roots there. I want to show another monument that was in Quincy, Massachusetts. Kathy, could you bring that one up? Here's another monument that we saw. This was in Quincy. There are 50 names, 50 fallen heroes listed on this monument in Quincy. Let me name many of them for you. Ebenezer, Daniel, Hezekiah, Jonathan, Joseph, Josiah, Seth, Elijah, James, Moses, Peter, Adam, Samuel, Jesse, Ezra, Nathaniel, Joshua, Abram, Micah, Thomas. Those are the names of the fallen at where this Revolutionary War began. Those are 50 names there. 95% of the names that are listed there are biblical names. 95%. Those are biblical names. Now, who else would name their child a biblical name unless it was someone who honored the Bible, a Christian? Okay? That revealed to me our Christian roots there, the values that our country stood for when we started. That's our heritage. for Massachusetts, but also for our entire country. Kathy, could you give me the next slide, please? All right. This is a monument in, Gary and I are standing before the monument in Concord. Gary, what's the importance about that bridge?
The bridge in the background is an exact replica of the North Bridge. There were 300 British soldiers on this side of the bridge, and they were attacked by 400 militia and minutemen from the colonists on the other side of the bridge. This effectively is where the Revolutionary War began. The first British soldiers killed in the Revolutionary War happened right here. This is Concord.
Concord.
In the background is it's an exact replica of the North Bridge, mm-hmm. which the British soldiers were ordered to protect, which they weren't able to do because they were overwhelmed by the attacking militia and Minutemen.
Okay, thank you, honey. Thank you. I wanted to go to the next slide now because we're going to have a blow up of that plaque. The monument says that this is where it all started. This war gave independence to the United States. And notice on the plaque, if you can read it, it says, "In gratitude to God and in the love of freedom." In gratitude to God and in the love of freedom. Okay. I want to go this battle began 244 years ago, only 244 years ago, bringing out what our country was established on, okay, our foundation. Can you go to the next slide, Kathy? Slide number 7 here. Okay, this monument was in the National Historical Park. We went there. And it's a statue of, can you tell who this might be here? What's this? That's a plow. That's a farmer, okay? It's a farmer. Notice what he has in the other hand. He has his what? His gun. Okay, Kathy, could you go to the next slide? All right, that's the entire monument. But I want to go to what it actually says right here. Kathy, if you could blow that up on the next slide. Okay, it says, "By the rude bridge that we just talked about, that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. Here once the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world." That's a monument to those farmers who dropped their plows, picked up the gun, and did what they had to do. And so that quote on there was by Ralph Waldo Emerson. They were bold enough to pick up their guns and fight against the strongest, most well-trained army at that time. Those colonists dared to do that, and it's called the shot heard round the world because of their boldness to do that. So that's some of the historical part of this message. As we get ready to celebrate, you know, 4th of July, our independence this week, that's where it started. But I shared also last week in my introduction that as you drive through Massachusetts, this is only like 244 years later. That's not that far away. That's not long ago, right? We have people living to 80, 90 years old, you know, so 244 years really was not all that long ago. But when you go through Massachusetts now, you'll see that there's been a shift from that foundation. A major shift from it. Major shift. That the people, you can tell from the monuments by the names, of the people who fell there. They were biblical names. There was a Christian foundation there. Christian values. That's what they had. Those were the roots there. But there's been a major shift away from Christian beliefs, away from God, away from the Bible. we saw it big time in Massachusetts. We see it around here too, though, you know. So I was just encouraged. I wanted to show you those monuments. I was so encouraged by our roots, our Christian roots, our heritage in our country. They were proof to me that our country began on Christian values, Christian principles. That's our heritage. I also said that I was really encouraged because, you know, we had gone to a restaurant and we heard some, I heard, you know, a couple of guys talking, and they were quite a distance away from me, but I heard their conversation and I could hear what they were saying. They too have seen the shift in their state, but they were standing strong and they were not going to be moved by what others were doing in their state. So that really encouraged me. They were going to not flow with the rest of the state. And then, of course, I said there were two women. When we left this one area, there were two women standing outside this mall. They were holding Jesus signs, and they were singing praise songs. That encouraged me. It was just awesome. I know there's a remnant. God was showing me there's a remnant there in Massachusetts. There's a remnant there. Even though all that yuck is going on, Massachusetts is one of the most liberal states in our United States. A lot of yuck going on there. A lot of shifting away from what God says. But there's a remnant there. They encourage me. When we go away, we usually go to a church service. I said, Gary, are we going to find a church that we'll feel comfortable in or want to go to? And sure enough, God had one. It was a small church, wasn't a lot of people, but they were strong right here. They were anchored. They're not shifting. They're not shifting. And there's no gay pride flag hanging from their church. They're not shifting. So there is a remnant there in Massachusetts. We've been seeing that shift go on in other states as well, our own and others. I just want to share some headlines that were sent to me just this week, things that I didn't even know. So, Kathy, could you bring up the first slide? This is a headline of something that happened. Government meeting opens with Hail Satan prayer. Leanna sent that to me this week. Thank you, Leanna. I didn't know you could open up the government with a Hail Satan prayer. This was in Alaska. I mean, that was just a shock to me. You know, as things happen, you know, they just get a little more wild. But we need to be aware of these things, right? We got to be aware of them, not fearful of them, but be aware. You know, I don't think that is exactly what Benjamin Franklin had in mind when he was suggesting to the Congress that every meeting be opened up with a prayer to for the assistance of heaven, end quote, the assistance of heaven for wisdom and direction. He wanted every meeting opened up with prayer to God. This wasn't the God he was talking about. Okay, he wasn't suggesting pray to Satan. Benjamin Franklin specifically referred to the Father of Lights. The Father of Lights. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can scroll down or if that's just a snapshot.
No, that's just a snapshot of what you sent, yeah. Just the headlines.
Sure. So the actual prayer, it went something from memory like, that which shall not bend,
I got it,
must break.
I can give it to you perfectly. I have it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Ah! I was glad to see many of the officials get up and leave the place, but many stayed. But this was the invocation from this satanic temple member that was allowed to open up this. This is what they said: that which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared as demise. It is done. Hail Satan. That's what the prayer to open up that government meeting was. Well, you know, we got to pray for these people, you know, the deception. Scripture very clearly tells us where truth comes. They're deceived. They're deceived. They don't know where the truth comes from. Kathy, could you bring up our next slide? John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and what?
Truth
came through where?
Jesus Christ,
not Satan. Not Satan. Kathy, next slide. This is John 14:6. This is Jesus. He's talking to Thomas. He says, I am the way, the what?
Truth
and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So truth. Jesus is the truth. He either is or he isn't, right? Who's got the truth? Scripture is very clear on who's telling the truth and who's telling a lie. Kathy, could you bring up John 8:44? This is talk about Satan. He is the liar and the father of lies. Very clear. Is there any gray area there?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. So we need to pray, right, guys? We got to pray. The deception, the blinders are great over our people. And so our job is to pray and enforce what Jesus has already done. So we're seeing a dramatic shift, dramatic. The deception is great. Kathy, could you go to the next slide? This is something that Kenny sent to me this week. Another headline. I didn't know any of this stuff, guys. Thank you, Kenny and Leanna. You informed me of stuff, and it just fit with the message. I'm like, oh, I got to include this. A New Jersey library planned a drag queen story hour. Then came 2 days of nonstop phone calls against it. Woo, woo! That was awesome. Yes.
They are trying to do that in Bethlehem this week.
I didn't know that this was a library thing that they've been trying to do.
Yeah.
What library? What library, Kenny? Yeah. So call Bethlehem libraries. I don't know where they all are, but
yeah, Bethlehem.
Okay.
Is the place that don't have it, but they're not doing anything.
Okay.
Yeah,
my hat goes off to those people in New Jersey for the nonstop phone calls. That's what we got to do that, guys. We got to do that. You know, I didn't even know there was a month to honor gays. I didn't know that. That's why they're doing it in these libraries. Who would have thought? Who would think? Anyway, fortunately, the New Jersey people were able to silence that. But this is a thing that's been going on. Kathy, could you go to the next slide, please? This is a headline just last year. Church of Satan lauds a library for hosting a five-horned killer clown drag queen at kids' story time. Could you go to the next slide? That's who went in, a drag queen to read to these children, these kids. Preschoolers, children. I didn't know this stuff was. Did y'all know this stuff? I did not know this. A drag queen who goes by the name of, I don't even know what I know, said the name, reads a story to the children at the Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library in Long Beach, California. Wow. Just. Oh, it's just incredible. But you know, thank God for those New Jersey parents who called and complained. I praise them. But you know what? There were parents who were upset because the drag queens weren't coming to read to their children. They were actually upset. Do you see the shift? It is so obvious. It's glaringly sickening. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I missed that one.
It was in a church.
Whoa. Oh, missed that one.
There's actually a worse one. There's a child that they're praising, and they actually have him dancing in these LGBT community events, and they give him money. This is a 7-8-year-old child. I mean, look it up. You'll see how sickening it is.
Yeah.
The times are rough.
Okay. One quick. Okay.
Just to remind that this is a spirit that we're working against, not people. These people are deceived. They're victims. They really are. They're messed up. They're coming into agreement with things they know not of. Okay. So how do you come up against, how do you wrestle against something that's not flesh and blood, folks? Okay. Where is your prayer closet? Do you have one? If you don't, get one.
Yeah.
Okay. And wear out the floor in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that this is a call to war, just like those farmers?
Yeah.
The weapons of our warfare are to the pulling down of strongholds.
Absolutely.
In our prayer closet. And that carpet better be wore out, okay? Do you understand this is a call to war? We're not going to sit here and go, oh, my God, it's so horrible. Call your congressman. What is your congressman going to do? He's probably in agreement with these people, okay? We have got to marshal the armies of heaven. And today's the day. There's a movie out, which is a sequel to, called It. Talk about killer clowns. This is about a clown that goes around and kills children. It's a runaway hit. It is a runaway hit. And I've never seen it, but I read the write-up about this particular one that's coming out. They said it is the bloodiest movie of all history in all of Hollywood that's ever been made. There's so much blood in it. And people love it. They love it. And it's killing children. So my question to you is, as you see this, okay, and you see this movie that everyday humans, our teens, are flocking to see, what is Satan's agenda? He's intelligent, but we've got his number. He's after the children, okay? What was Hitler after? He said to the parents, I don't need you because I have your kids. It was called Hitler Youth. Okay, so Satan is after the children, all right? Just wear out your carpet. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
I'm just going to say this really briefly. The agenda is so that people become desensitized. And so, we don't pray the problem. Mm-hmm. We pray that we all become so sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
And the righteousness that's about doing what is right. And it's a call for everyone to stand up and be each other's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. The children have been, you know, because we have work, we have jobs, we have things that we need to do. So children have to go to school. And I'll just share this really briefly. The Lord, you know, I homeschooled our children for 13 years. But the Lord said to me specifically, when you send them out, you send them to die. But if you keep them home, they will live. I didn't know anything about anything. It was like looking for a needle in a haystack. But the Lord began to teach me our authority. Mm-hmm. And it's about the church standing up and taking the authority.
Absolutely.
Not in fear.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see other people and things like that, get to know your neighbor. Get to, you know, I mean, that story time thing, oh my gosh, that's like... It's about feeding the mind.
Indoctrination.
And it's not just desensitizing. Mm-hmm. It's with everything, with the movies. It's with the songs. It's also, you know, the Jesus spoke about, he said, I'd rather that you be hot or cold.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so so that is a real key. And the Lord kept screaming at me, tell them about not, we're not to be desensitized. We're to be so sensitive. He said,
yes.
"You, my people know my voice, and another they will not follow. So pray that people would hear the voice of God.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Pat. So what we're seeing, it's a shift. It's a shift away from God. It's a shift away from God's word, from the principles and the Christian values. It's opposite God. It's an antichrist spirit. We have it here in America. We need to know that. And so I believe that we are in the last days. I don't know how long the last days are. You know, I don't know. I don't know all those details. But you know, the prophet has declared that this is an end-time church. And as pastor of this end-time church, I feel a responsibility to build us up so we have an anchor to stand in these perilous times that we're dealing with, the things that we're seeing. The seduction is so subtle. It's so subtle. We need to stay close to God, hear him, hear what he has to say, and be obedient. This is what Paul shared with Timothy about the last days, what they would look like. Kathy, could you go on our next slide? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They'll come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Is there any doubt that we're seeing this in epic proportions, you know, right now? The next verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, Paul says, turn away. Turn away, church, from those people. Those are Paul's instructions. Turn away. We've been seeing this. This is the shift. We see people who are absolutely confused. They're confused. They call evil good and good evil. Isaiah gave a strong warning against that. Isaiah, Kathy, chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know, so that woe, that's a strong warning. Woe is a strong, it expresses deep sorrow, grief. It's a lamentation. In the Old Testament, the prophets used that to express deep dismay or misfortune. In the New Testament, Jesus used woe. He used it several times. He pronounced woes on the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. He pronounced judgment on them because, you know, they didn't repent. They didn't believe, even with all the miracles that he performed there. He pronounced woes on the scribes and the Pharisees for being hypocrites. They were hypocrites. Remember, he also prescribed, he said, woe to the very one who betrayed him. Kathy, could you bring up this scripture? Mark 14:20. Jesus said to them, they're wondering, who's going to betray you? It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Woe, woe. So Isaiah is saying woe to those who call evil good. He's warning them of their doom. Woe to those who open up government meetings with Hail Satan prayers. Woe, woe, Woe to those who establish a month to honor something of an abomination, to honor gays and the LGBT, the whole agenda. God calls that lifestyle an abomination. It doesn't change. His word doesn't change. It's still an abomination today, guys. Still an abomination. God calls it an abomination to be in drag. The Bible even says that. Let's go there. I'm going to show you. Kathy, can you bring up Deuteronomy? If there's any questions or any problems, God's got the answer. He's got the answer. He'll clear up any confusion that you might have. Okay, Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. We're not to try to make ourselves something that we're not. Okay? We're not to try to change genders in any way. There should be no confusion about, you got the parts, you know what you are. You know, God created you. We're to be male and female, and we're to honor the dignity of our own sex and not attempt to change that role. There's nothing in Scripture that says that pants are only for men. There was a church that we were going to, and women could not wear pants there. I'm like, oh, okay. They're maybe taking that Scripture and taking it, really running with it. And there's nothing in Scripture that says robes are just for women, In the Bible days, men wore robes. In Ireland, men wear skirts. Yeah, they wear those kilts. That doesn't mean they're drag queens, okay? It's an accepted dress for the men. The problem is when we take on the role of the opposite sex and we dress like that and, vice versa. It's not necessarily the article of clothing. It's the heart. God looks at the heart. He sees what's going on. What's the intent? I want to share a recent study with you. This was just in January of 2019. It was done by the U.S. Centers of Disease Control. It said that, talking about, the enemy going after the youth, just under 2% of high school students said that they were transgender. Of those 2%, 35% of those students attempted suicide last year. 35% of them the previous year. That compares to others who don't label themselves as transgender. That suicide rate is only 7%. Big difference. Big difference. The report also found that the transgender youth were more likely than non-transgender students to use cocaine, heroin, meth, prescription opioids. The report said that many of these young people who identified themselves as transgenders, they haven't had, the surgery to go along with that, but they remain biologically the same as they were before. They identify themselves right here as the opposite sex. It's right here. That's why they dress that way, and they insist that they have to have access to the bathroom of what the gender that they think that they feel that they are. Okay, it said in that report that these folks are very highly prone to depression. And this was a quote by the John Hopkins Hospital. This is the chief of psychiatrists named Dr. Paul McHugh. He says that, get this, we were just talking about this morning in the prayer room. Transgenderism is a mental disorder. It's a mental disorder that merits treatment. This is the head psychiatrist there. And this is what he says. Sex change is biologically impossible. It's impossible. You can cut things off, add other things on, do whatever, but you're still the same person that God created you to be. You can't change it. You can't change it. This is something else he said. People who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting a mental disorder. Actually, they're cooperating with the enemy. This is a spiritual thing. They've opened the door to the enemy. Interestingly, Christians who stand on the Word of God and don't bend and shift the way the world is doing, Christians are called haters. That couldn't be further from the truth. God doesn't hate homosexuals or transgenders. He loves them. He died for them so that they could be delivered from that spirit. They could be delivered. They need the knowledge. Crosses, you know, there crosses are a symbol of Christianity. That's where Jesus paid it all for us. China's taken down crosses. They don't like crosses. They've been attacking them. Recently, a cross in Maryland was being attacked. Could you bring up that next slide, Kathy? This is the Peace Cross in Maryland. It's actually a monument. It has the name of the fallen heroes who served our country and lost their lives. This is a monument. That's what that monument was there for. And several are trying to go through the court system. They were trying to go through the court system and pull it down. It's a 40-foot cross. It sits in a public intersection. That cross was erected in 1925. It was a tribute to 49 soldiers. There are 49 names on there who died in World War I. They gave up their life for this country. And it was paid for by private funds, okay? According to the media, three people complained that they objected to seeing that cross every time they drove by. Three people. They wanted it moved. Wow. Thankfully, the Supreme Court said that's a war memorial, and it stays. The vote was 7-2, ruling that we will honor those soldiers who risked their life. Thank God, 7-2. They said it was not unconstitutional. It honored the men who served their country to give those three people their very freedom. So, I say let those three people take a different road. You know, you got more roads in Maryland? Take a different road. You know? Woe to those who call good evil. Woe to those. How many crosses are on the Arlington Seminary, the cemetery there? They probably wanted to take those down too. You know? Woo! Anyway, we just continue to stand in prayer. Continue to pray for Prophetess Diana. Continue to pray for her. You know, she's you know, in the school system and doing amazing things, life coaching, coaching those very troubled youth. She handles the ones, you know, who cause, you know, some problems in the school. They've had since she's been doing that, they've had a 60% decrease in bullying. She's reaching kids. She has a positive impact on those kids. The principal hired her to come there. She said, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. That's why we want you, because they got problems and they don't know what to do with them. So she comes in, she's doing it. The kids are responding to her. We love her. She comes here. You guys love her, right? She's amazing. She's got an anointing to do this. And she texted, she said, please pray for me. There's a gay teacher that's trying to come against her and the principal to keep them out. You know what? Woe to those! Woe to that teacher! Pray for that teacher! That guy needs revelation! Woe to those who call good evil! She's doing a good thing. Pray for Prophetess Diane that she can get back into those schools come September. These are the things that we're seeing in our country. We're seeing these things, homosexuality, the push of the LGBTQ agenda, the abortion, divorce, suicide. We see the shifting of thoughts and actions of so many. You know, the drug use, the perversion, it's not just in Massachusetts. It's happening all throughout our nation. Dave Kramer was the one. Thank you, Dave, for bringing in that the candidates. You know, there were Gary mentioned there were there are two Republicans and 20 Democrats running for president next year. And only one of this whole list, only one is pro-life, pro-God. Only one. Oh, severely criticized, yeah, for it. So anyway, we need to know what's going on in our nation. We see this shift happening, and it's the shift away from God, from His Word. It's attack on our foundation, the very foundation that our country was established on. And so, if in construction, you know, you're building a building, if the foundation is weak, if the foundation is destroyed, the house collapses. The foundation. We're talking about foundation today. We're talking about foundation today, guys. Okay? If you compromise the foundation, the structure will fall apart. It opens that structure up to a fall. Kathy, could you bring up the next scripture, please? Psalm 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our nation was established on Christian principles and values. That's our foundation. They can change the history books all they want, but it doesn't change the fact that that's what our country was founded on. That's our foundation. It's Christian. That fact still remains. We only saw proof of that with the monument pictures that we showed and the names of the fallen that fell there in Lexington and Concord and Quincy during that Revolutionary War. Ragtag bunch of farmers. They were tradesmen, churchgoers, and they dared to go up against the most powerful army at that time. They were people of faith. They were fighting for freedom. They didn't want to be under the tyranny of Great Britain. You know, we can see our Christian foundation in our country's founding documents. We can see that clearly in the Declaration of Independence. That established us as a free nation under God. This is what it says: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator." It's in our Declaration. "With certain unalienable rights, that many among them, these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That's our Declaration of Independence. Also, in our national anthem, Kathy, just bring up the national anthem. This was written by Francis Scott Key. This is referring to our flag. "May the heaven-rescued land praise the power." This is one of the verses from our national anthem. "May the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto: in God is our trust." In God. "And the star-spangled banner," our flag, "in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave." That's our American flag. Just on a side note, something else I learned while we were in Massachusetts, since we're going there. Gary and I visited a national park, and I picked up a child's book about the American flag. This is the book I picked up because I was going to be going into my little grandson's kindergarten class, and I was going to read to the class. So I'm like, what book am I going to take in? Okay, this is interesting. I'm looking through it. It's great, great pictures. I can, you know, show it to the kids. Well, I'm reading through this book, and I come across something. And I thought, well, is that true? You know, I thought I knew everything about the flag, but I wanted to check out what was in there. On one of the pages in here, I was surprised to read that a high school student designed our current American flag for 50 states. Did anyone know that? Anyone in here know that? I didn't know that. They didn't tell me that in our history class. But it was in this little book. So I checked it out to see if it was accurate, and it sure enough it is. I'm going to tell you a little story. I never heard it before, but I looked it up. It's very interesting. In 1958, our America was only 48 states. Okay, there was some talk that Alaska and Hawaii, you know, might earn statehood and join, but at that time there was only 48. So our American flag at that time had 48 stars, one for each state. Okay, a history teacher in Ohio assigned a class project to their class. And the class project was that they were supposed to make something with their own hands and bring it in to the class. That was the project. So there was a student there. His name was Bob Heft. He was inspired by the story of Betsy Ross. You know, Betsy Ross, you know, he was inspired by that story. And he had heard about the possibility of two more states, you know, possibly, you know, earning statehood. That would have been Hawaii and Alaska. So what this young man decided to do, he said, I'm going to design the American flag for when those two states come on board, okay? So he took his parents' 48-star flag and, you know, did some work on that thing, made some adjustments, and he brought it in to his class and presented it to his teacher, laid it on the teacher's desk. That history teacher was not impressed. Not impressed with that flag. Don't you know we got 48 states? So he was chided. He wasn't impressed. And so Bob got a B- on his project. He got a B-. Well, Bob wasn't so happy with that, you know, that grade. He said, well, I followed the rules. You know, when you get a new flag, the rules are you shouldn't be able to tell that there was anything else added or changed to it. And he said, I did that. He felt good about that. He did it. He added the extra two stars, but he said it looked good. And so this is what his teacher said to him. If you don't like your grade, get it accepted into Washington and then come back and I might consider changing your grade. So for the next 2 years, Bob made phone calls and letters to the White House. He also contacted his representatives in Ohio. And then during that time, this took about 2 years, during those 2 years, Alaska and Hawaii earned statehood. And so, Bob had, you know, he'd been calling the White House and finally he's been waiting for this call. Finally, he gets a call from President Eisenhower. President Eisenhower said that his flag design was the one chosen over 1,000 others that were submitted. His flag design. So on July 4th, 1960, Bob Heft walks into the White House to see his project design become the official United States flag. And so this has been the longest running flag with 50 stars on it, the longest running flag. And so he goes back to his teacher, and yes, his teacher did give him an A for his project. But, Bob Heft passed away in 2009. Before he did, he passed on a new design with 51 stars on it. In the event that Washington, D.C. or Puerto Rico would become our 51st state. So just an interesting little tidbit, a little bit of history in there. But our current flag was designed by a high school student. I just love that. There's another national symbol we have, and that's our Liberty Bell. Our Liberty Bell. Our Liberty Bell has a scripture on it. Kathy, could you bring it up? This is the scripture out of Leviticus. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. That's the scripture. The next is just a picture of the bell down there in Philadelphia. So our country has a long-standing history. It's a Christian heritage. That foundation was strong you know, 244 years ago when that Revolutionary War started. You know, when the representatives from the colonies met there, they, you know, for during this Revolutionary War, the Continental Congress called, believe it or not, they called for days of fasting and prayer. They called for fasting and prayer, not to Satan, to God, to God. They were seeking help, and they were suggesting that the people do that too. They declared days of thanksgiving and praise when God would intervene and bless them and give them victories. That Continental Congress, they contained, quote, an extraordinary number of deeply religious men. Extraordinary. That was mentioned in a publication by the Library of Congress. Back then, they promoted non-denominational Christianity. This is our Continental Congress. And guess what? The citizens didn't object. They were okay with it. They were fine. They didn't protest that. They promoted Christianity. They didn't prohibit other faiths, but they promoted Christianity. Congress appointed chaplains for itself. Those chaplains would open up the meetings in prayer. They did not invite Satanists to do that. They appointed chaplains for the armed forces. They actually sponsored the publication of the Bible, and they actually imposed Christian morality in our armed forces. They granted public lands to promote Christianity among the Indians. Our Congress was governed by a covenant theology. They believed that God would bind himself to our country and lead and guide us, and lead our people. Massachusetts was founded by the Puritans. That's why they had those names on those monuments. Those were biblical names. That's where our foundation came from. I believe if our founders could see what's happened in Massachusetts, this switch, the change that has gone on, I think they would be a little saddened that this such a dramatic switch, a shift, has taken place in only 200. It's only 244 years, guys. That's not that long, but a major shift away from Christianity. Our country was established on Christian values and principles. Don't let any fake news, any professor try to tell you it wasn't. Kathy, could you bring up the next slide? One of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry, said this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians." Is that pretty plain? That's pretty plain to me. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our country was established on Christian principles and Christian values. That's what we celebrate on Thursday. Our freedom, those men, those farmers, those churchgoers, they gave their life that we could have freedom. Our founding documents, our national symbols, all verify that we were founded on Christian principles. Our founding fathers drew their inspiration from God and the Bible. That's where they got it. We've just been seeing a shifting away. If you would like to read any more of our founding fathers' comments, you can go to our back glass window there, the big newspaper ad in red, white, and blue that has other founding fathers' quotes, and you'll see it so clearly. That ad, by the way, was put out last year, around this time in July, by Hobby Lobby. Just awesome, so awesome. So we've preserved it and put it up on our wall, so you can read some more if you'd like. So there's been a shifting away from God and His Word. When the foundation is compromised, the house collapses. When the foundation is compromised, You know, we've seen some states shifting. Some have shifted more than others, you know. I think it was a year or two ago, we were on a cruise, and we met this awesome couple from California. And we got to talking with them, and they were sharing. They're really near retirement age. They only had a few years to go. And what they shared with us, like, think of California, you know, very, very liberal, all kinds of things going on there. They said they cannot wait for retirement because as soon as they retire, they're out of California. They cannot stomach the shift that they have seen there anymore. They want out. So they're seeing that scripture that we talked about, you know, early 2 Timothy 3:3, you know, with all the things going on in these last days. I guess we shouldn't be, you know, too surprised. There's going to be a lot more things happening. A lot more, you know, there's going to be war in large scale. There's going to be famine, great earthquakes, pestilences, epidemics, increase in crime. We know these things are. We know they're happening. We know that they're going to happen. It's prophesied, but we don't have to be afraid. We stand on the word. God will, you know, we were saying about it, is he our anchor or isn't he? You know, so as a pastor, I just feel it's my responsibility to build us up on the inside for whatever comes. You know, we may not know everything that's coming, but we know it's coming. We know it's coming. So this message is about having a firm foundation, having that anchor for your soul. If the foundation is compromised, the whole structure comes down. The foundation. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. In Texas, yeah. Since you say that, in Texas, before any mayor was to take office, they pass a Bible passage. So they'll pass a passage to each other in Congress and whatever's going awesome. On in politics in Texas. Just wanted to add to that.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Ray. Yeah. Yeah. The foundation. We're going there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I was here speaking the last time, mm-hmm. God said to me, as I was given the message, when you witness to people, share what's in it for them. Because this is where they're at. I've tried it since then. Instead of saying, you know, you're deceived, you're this, you're that, you're everything, all of us have experienced God doesn't take things away and punish us. He gives us better than what we had before. Mm-hmm. We have a lot to share and entice them to communicating with us more.
Absolutely. We sure do. Absolutely. Thank you. So, you know, we're talking about foundation, what Ray just mentioned, you know, our foundation, this country's foundation, our foundation as Christians is the Word of God, and that's what the enemy is attacking. That's what's going on with the shift. Kathy, could you bring up Genesis 1:1, right? It starts right here. It starts right, that's where the attack is. In the beginning, God. That's where the enemy is attacking against. He's coming against the word. He's trying to get man to shift away from it, not believe it. That very scripture is under attack. If Genesis collapses, how goes the rest of the word for the person who receives that? So you know, our children in school are not being taught that God created. They're not being taught that. They're being taught evolution. The plan of the enemy is to attack the foundation. You know, he did it, the enemy did that in the garden, remember? In Genesis? Hath God really said? Hath he really said it? That's where the attack is. And so we need to stand strong on the word. The foundation is the word. We build on the word. We have to stand on that word. When the foundation is compromised, the house falls. Okay. You know, our society does not honor God's word. There are even Christians who don't stand. You know, they might say they believe what the Word of God says, but when push comes to shove, they discredit it, they dishonor it, they back off of it. Hath God really said? Is there really a God? Is there really a God? The knowledge of God's word is so critical. We got to know. We got to know what the word says. It's very important as we see all this shifting going on. If we want to be able to stand, you know, with all the things that are going to be coming and what we're seeing right now, we have to have a strong anchor of the Word of God ourselves. That's where our stability comes in. Kathy, could you bring up the next slide? 2 Peter 1:2. Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." If we want peace, we have to have God's knowledge. We have to have that knowledge of God. Even while this shifting is going on, our anchor, that the firm foundation is the knowledge of God, which is found where? In the Word of God. We know about God through His Word. You know, no wonder there's so much anxiety in the world. You hear people talk, "Oh, I'm anxious about this," and you know, before you reach for the anti-anxiety medication, reach for the Word. Reach for the Word. You know, don't reach first for that pill. Reach for the Word. If there's a problem with anxiety, there's a problem with the knowledge of God. There's a problem there. There's a foundation problem, you know. If you have a health problem or you have a problem with a relationship, there's a knowledge problem. Get into the Word of God. You won't have a problem anymore. Get into the Word. If you have a financial problem, you got a knowledge problem. Got a knowledge problem. Get into the Word of God. Actually, it might be a lack of knowledge, you know, problem that I should be talking about. God said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So the knowledge is in the Word. You know, sometimes when a house is constructed and the foundation is faulty, that house may have to be redone. That foundation may have to be dug up and redone. You know, when I was in need of healing, you know, I had gone to several churches and they taught me certain things. That was my foundation. That's all I knew. They told me that miracles don't happen, that you can't expect healing. That was the foundation that I had. But then I found out what God said. So I had to take that foundation, those lies, and I had to destroy them, pull that stuff down. And then I had to rebuild with the truth. Then I saw miracles. It's the Word of God, guys. Our foundation is the Word. We got to know the Word. You got to get into God's Word. Peter said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God." And he goes on, Kathy, in the next verse. In verse 3, he says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." How? "Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these precious promises written in the Word, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We need to renounce the corruption. We need to renounce that corruption, that perversion that we see in the world. We say, "No, God, I'm not flowing with the way the world thinks. I'm flowing with the way you think. Amen. I'm flowing your way, God. I'll stand on your word and I will overcome no matter what comes our way." No matter what. So the foundation for everything is in the knowledge of God, and it comes from the Word of God. Just as our founding fathers, they established this nation on the foundation of Christianity, of biblical principles, the same way they were able to overcome the fiercest army at that time in the world, just as they did. We have to build our foundation too. It's the same foundation. It's on the Word of God. That's how we'll get through whatever comes, whatever may come. Ray was in Israel. He said, "Oh, there's going to be some things happening next year. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. My foundation is in Him. I trust God. No fear, no fear. No matter what comes our way, we won't be shaken. We won't be moved." Father, we give you praise. We honor you. Lord, we thank you for this great land. We thank you, Father, for what you have done here, using these farmers, these tradesmen, these churchgoers. Lord, we thank you for our godly Christian heritage. Thank you for these freedoms that we walk in. We can come in here unhindered, Lord God. Thank you that we could come and into your house and sing praises to you, Lord God. Thank you for that. Father, I ask, we repent. Lord, we repent for a turning away, Lord, from your word, from you, Father God. We repent. We repent for our nation, Lord God. Father, we call everyone, each soul, Lord, to return to you, to our roots, to our Christian roots, our godly Christian roots, Father God. I thank you, Father, for blessing this nation. I thank you for blessing each individual, Father God, that serves you, that loves you. Bring our country back to its roots, Lord God. Help us restore the foundation that once was 244 years ago in this nation. Restore it, Lord. Father God, we thank you for revival all across this land in the hearts of our people. Open the eyes of their hearts, Lord God. Rip off. We command the blinders to be ripped off. Lord, we cancel the deception that has come forth, Lord God, even in government positions, Lord God. Father, we declare you over this land, over this country. You are God. You are our Lord. We thank you. We bless you, Father. Father, we thank you for your protection over this president in our United States, Lord God. Thank you for your protection over his family, over our government leaders, Lord God. We thank you. We give you praise, Father. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. Whatever you say in your word goes. Whatever you say, God, goes. We entrust our country. We entrust our families. We entrust our freedom to you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for mighty men of valor, Lord, who have paid the ultimate price. But most of all, Father, we thank you for Jesus, who paid the most amazing price for each one of us, that we could walk in freedom, we can walk in truth, we can walk in health and deliverance and all those blessings that you've given us through that sacrificial death on the cross. Lord, we give all praise to you. Bless each one, Lord, as they go from this place. Father God, and we just thank you that you'll bring us back next week and strengthen us, continue to strengthen us in our inner core, in our inner man, Lord God, with no matter what we see. We declare we will not shift with the world, but we will stand on your word. We give you praise in this house, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.